He has honored me with this opportunity, and for that, I just want to thank him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of our God, who is awesome. He is higher than any other God. Hallelujah. He is greater than any other God. He is greater than your situation right now. You think your situation is bad? Our God is greater. Hallelujah. Our God is greater. I want you to declare that my God is greater than my situation. Hallelujah. Amen. I am a sinner saved by the grace of our God. And by his love, I'm able to stand before you here and declare that he has saved me. And he has chosen me. He chose me even before I was born. He knew that I would be born, and he declared that I'm going to be his son. Hallelujah. He made provision for me when he died, when Christ died on the cross. He made provision for me to be saved. And so today I can stand here boldly, not because of my own strength, but because Jesus saved me. Hallelujah. And I want you to be bold and believe that this Jesus who saved you gave you this power to stand and declare that he is God. Hallelujah. 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 Without Jesus, I am nothing. And that is the truth. That is the whole truth, and it will never change. Without Jesus, I am nothing. But with him, I'm more than a conqueror, because that is what his word tells me today. Hallelujah. And I do not need a crutch to lean on. I only need Jesus. That is all that I will ever lean on. And I want all of you to declare and believe that that Jesus is the one that you will lean on, and no other crutch. You will not depend on your employer. You will not depend on anything else but this Jesus, because he is our salvation. Amen. Jesus, this Jesus is the way and the only way. Do not believe in anything else. He is the only way. Hallelujah. And if you don't know this Jesus, today you will find out who he is. He is the ever-saving God, and he will never change. He will never fail you. When he holds your hand, he will walk with you every day of your life. Hallelujah. Today, I just want to speak on the message. I've called it, Are You Expecting a Miracle? And it comes from the book of Luke, chapter 8. Verses 40 to 56. But before that, may I take this opportunity to introduce you to Jesus, who is the miracle worker. You have been hearing about him the last few weeks, the last few months, about Jesus who does miracles. And you have seen miracles happen in this place. And you have seen people receive healing in this place. And perhaps that's been you, and we thank God for that. And perhaps you have sat there and you have not received your miracle. And you have had to wait. Perhaps it's come weeks later, and perhaps even now it has not arrived. I want to tell you, this Jesus is a miracle worker. Amen. We have heard of Jesus who healed a paralyzed man because people, his friends, lowered him through the roof, and they brought him in the presence of Jesus. His friends brought him in the presence of Jesus, and he received his healing there and then. You have heard of the man, of the Canaanite woman, who persistently went to Jesus and said, my daughter needs healing. She cried out for the sake of her daughter, and Jesus healed her daughter. And 2 weeks ago, you heard about the woman with the issue of blood, who in today's reading is in the story there, but that's not our focus for today. But you heard about her. She reached out for the hem of the garment of Jesus, and when she touched it, she wasn't superstitious. She believed in the power that was in Jesus, and she received her healing. And that is the Jesus that we declare today. In the year 2019, that is the same Jesus that we declare today, that he heals the sick, he restores those whose the enemy has taken away, and he gives life. This is the Jesus I want to introduce you today. Jesus, our miracle worker. Hallelujah. Sometimes we sit and wait for our miracle. And this is where our faith is tested, because it hasn't happened instantaneously. And we start doubting, what happened to our God? What happened to the prayers that I've been praying? And it's in this place where sometimes you get opposite responses. You get opposite results. You pray for a child to get well, and the situation gets worse. And you don't know how that has happened. Yet you have prayed consistently. You have prayed and you have called on the name of the Lord. And yet that child is not healed. We are in this place. Many of us in here today are in this place where we've been praying, but we have not seen the answers. I tell you today, Jesus is not asleep. He is listening to your prayers today. Hallelujah. He is listening to your prayers today, and do not doubt that our God is able to transform your situation. Our God is able to heal you. He does not sleep. Hallelujah. This is the place we are here today. And if you have not seen your miracle, Jesus is saying it is here. I want us to look at this gap and spend the rest of our service today, the preach today, in this gap. Looking at what happens when we start believing God for a miracle and it hasn't happened until it happens, because it happens, hallelujah. Our faith is tested in this place. Many turn to their own strengths in this place. When they get to this place, they find alternative sources because they didn't see Jesus coming through for them. Because they didn't believe Jesus was coming through for them. They are in this place and they turn to their own ways. These alternatives, sometimes they may even seem like they come from God. Pastor has been talking about three voices. Your own voice, the enemy speaking to you, and God speaking to you. And it's very important to be able to discern this voice and know when God is speaking to you. And today I believe God is going to speak to us. And each one of us in our place of expecting a miracle, you are going to receive because our God is able. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've asked Monica if she could read for us the Bible reading, Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. It might not come up on the screen there because we're having technical issues, but I believe that God is so powerful and he's going to speak regardless of whether we have the slides or not. It's a good time for you to pull out your Bible today and read rather than the screen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes.
Luke chapter 8, verse 40 to 56. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're looking at this story of Jairus. Today we are focusing on Jairus and seeing his journey walking with Jesus. He has come to Jesus, and all we know is he says his daughter was dying. We do not know what she was dying from, but we know that he was desperate. He was in a place where he was crying out to Jesus. And yet in between the time when he meets Jesus and the time Jesus comes to his home, there's a lot that happens in between. And a lot that he sees with his own eyes, but he doesn't understand everything. The word of God says they nearly crushed Jesus. The word that is used there, it actually means they thronged him and nearly crushed him completely, because it's the same word that is used in verse 7 of the same chapter when he talks about the seed that is choked by the thorns when sown by the farmer in the parable of the sower. So the situation we are seeing here is many people who have come to see Jesus. Yes, they have come to see the miracles, and many of them, they have come to see what's going to happen next. But very few have come to receive their miracle. I want you to look at that scripture again, and you will see that Jesus was nearly crushed by the crowd, but not each one of them had come to receive a miracle, yet they knew very well that Jesus was performing miracles. Two people here receive their miracle, but not everyone who was thronging Jesus. So the woman with the issue of blood receives her healing, and Jesus and Jairus is calling on Jesus, but everyone else, they have come to see what is going to happen. And I know that sometimes we come to the service and we have no expectation at all of what God is going to do. We have come to see what's going to happen. But we come without expectation, and God is calling us to a place of expectation. Because when he makes his promises that he's going to meet our needs, he will meet our needs. Why come into his presence expecting nothing, coming to see what's going to happen to someone else? We are in this place because God has called us for a purpose. So you are here to receive your healing if you are sick. And you are here to receive what God has promised you if he has promised you. So do not sit there thinking, I'm coming here to see what's going to happen and then decide what's going to happen to my situation. You have come here to receive your miracle. Hallelujah. So you need to come here with an open heart, a heart of expectation, because Jesus is present here. Hallelujah. So Jairus has come to receive his miracle, and he is walking with Jesus. He would be like the modern day pastor. And perhaps people knew him a lot in the community he was in, but maybe not many of them knew that he actually believed in Jesus. Yet he was walking along with Jesus. You may recall, there was the centurion that we had his story in chapter 7 of this same book, which we read a few months ago. We've gone through the whole of Luke, and we read in chapter 7, we saw the centurion who said, Jesus, you know what? I don't even want you to come to my house. Just say the word, and my daughter will be healed. My servant will be healed. And he believed Jesus, and he received his miracle. Hallelujah. We have seen the lady, this woman with the issue of blood. What did she do? She touched the hem of his garment. And what did she receive? She received her healing. Hallelujah. Yet Jairus, here we see, he's walking with Jesus to his home. Now Jesus does not tell Jairus, you've got to believe like the centurion. He walks with him to his house. Hallelujah. Now I know that we are all in this journey and we are at a different level of faith. And Jesus is walking with us in our journey of faith. He's not saying, I expect you to have pastor's level of faith for you to receive your miracle. You need faith the size of a mustard seed for you to receive your miracle. Hallelujah. For you to receive your miracle, each one of these people had their level of faith. And therefore, the Jairus here walking with Jesus is going to receive his miracle because we have read that, we know the story, because he has believed in Jesus. Hallelujah. So Jesus responded to the faith of Jairus. And this is the God that we worship. He responds to where we are at when we choose to believe, and when we choose not to believe in anything else but to believe in him. Hallelujah. He's got Jesus' attention and they are going home. Then the delay starts. The crowd is slowing Jesus down. And despite the crowds knowing that Jesus performed miracles, these two people are the only ones who are about to receive their miracle. The crowds will miss out on this opportunity. Hallelujah. The second form of delay we see is the woman who meets Jesus and receives her healing. And I don't know what Jairus was thinking at this point in time. That I know that Jesus is coming to heal my daughter. But then what is this slowing him down? Why is he going really slowly? And then the word of God, if we go to verse 49, it says, while he was still speaking, someone from the synagogue's official house came and said to Jairus, your daughter is dead. Do not inconvenience the teacher any further. There is a delay, and finally his daughter dies. Have you been in a situation where you have been waiting for God to answer your prayers and then your situation goes from worse, from bad to worse? In this place, the people panic. People in this place do not know what to do next. But you know what? The Word of God teaches us how to depend on our God. Hallelujah. The Word of God teaches us how to look to Jesus because he alone has the answers. Hallelujah. His heart must have sunk, Jairus. And he might have thought, if only Jesus had gone faster. If only this woman had not wasted our time. You pray for someone to be healed, and the next thing you see, their intensive care unit. It doesn't match you, the miracle you've been praying for. You are praying for your finances to get better, yet the council tax just goes up, your salary doesn't increase. The British Gas increases their rates on their gas, and you don't know where to go for help. You are praying for God to come through in your marriage, and then your husband or your wife walks out the door. How can it be? Why does this happen? Many have reached this point, but I want to tell you today that there is hope when we return to Jesus and decide that our situation is not dead. So if you are sitting here today and you have given up on your situation, I just want to tell you today, wait for one moment. Do not give up, because our Jesus is here to change your situation. Hallelujah. Our Jesus is here to change your situation. Wait for one moment. Wait for one moment. Jesus, hearing this, he answered him. He said, do not be afraid any longer. Only believe and trust in me, and she will be well. Jairus, I do not know what he was feeling when Jesus said these words. If it's my daughter who's died, and in the natural I know she's died, I wouldn't be thinking, I want to stand there. I want to get home and see what I'm going to do. Hallelujah. But Jesus says, stand here and do not be afraid. Just believe and you will be healed. The first thing Jesus says, he gives him that challenge, which is do not be afraid. It sounds almost very cruel for Jesus to say this to a man who's just lost his daughter. But he wants him to believe in him. This is a difficult thing to do. And I know when we are in that place where things are looking difficult, it is a difficult place to be. But do you remember the word of God that comes in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7? Do you remember that? And we read this with Pastor a few weeks ago. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's repeat that. Declare it, because it is a scripture we need to remember. When things are going difficult, we need to remember this scripture, because it is the word of God. Hallelujah. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is a scripture I want you to keep in your heart. And do not let that go. Hallelujah. The word of God says, only believe. Jesus said to him, only believe. He did not say only, he didn't say believe and think about what I'm going to do, or believe and think about what's going to happen now. He just said, believe in me. Hallelujah. And this was a critical moment for Jairus. And I believe this was the turning point, because he did not quit. He stayed with Jesus. So he's here with Jesus. And I believe this place, I always call it in my situations, the ground zero, where I have nowhere to go but to lean on Jesus. And I do not understand why my human nature takes me to this place where I have to wait until nothing. I have no option for me to run to Jesus. Rather, I should be running to Jesus from the very word go that my situation arises. I should be running to Jesus at that point rather than waiting until I've run out of ideas. And I know that that is my situation, and the situation for many of us here. We run to Jesus when we know that our human powers cannot do it. And my objective today is to help you to get through this gap and get to your miracle. And that is where we're going to be when we finish. Hallelujah. 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 We don't want to be in doubt, but we want to believe in Jesus. There are six things that I'm going to mention this morning, but I'm sure there's many other things that will be happening in this gap that God helps you to walk through. And the first thing I'll say to you, you need to be in a place where you learn the will of God and know what your rights are. You need to be in a place where you know what the will of God for you is. Hallelujah. And the will of God, do you know where it is? It is in His Word. And I want you to believe that the will of God for your situation is in this word, be it finances, be it your marriage, be it your healing. It is in this word and nowhere else in the world. Hallelujah. It is in this word. This week I was speaking to one of my colleagues, and he said to me, we were talking about the story of Joseph with a colleague who believes in God. And we were talking about his situation, the fact that he was not bitter about his brothers, and he just, you know, ministered to them and encouraged them when they felt like they had wronged him. And my colleague was asking, well, who is Joseph? And we said it's a story that is in the Bible of a man whose brother sold him to captivity, but God got him out of captivity and brought him out, and he rescued the whole of Israel. And he said, I mean, how can you read the Bible? Where do you find it? And I said, well, the Bible, he said, it's quite a big book. And I said, yes, it's quite a big book, but you can actually read it. And I did mention to him that I go through the Bible in a year, every time, one time, chronologically, because it feeds me, it gives me life. And whenever I face a situation, I go and refer to the Word of God, because I know that there is life in this Word. And he doesn't know, but he's going to know it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will know that God says everything about your situation. He talks about your situation in His Word. And the only way for you to know how He's working is to go back to His Word, and He will tell you what His will is. Hallelujah. When we pursue our miracles, we need to draw near to God. And you will know what your right is as a child of God. As I was growing up as a child, I was always near my father. And there was 9 of us in the family. And you can imagine if all of us were doing the same thing, he wouldn't have time at all. But every time my dad was in the home, I was near him. Because I knew that by hanging around him, I will get something. You know, we will eat a meal together. I'll have my dinner, but I'll have my dinner again with him. And it was a blessed place to go. And if he said he's not going on a trip with me, I'll find a way to hide under the seat in the car. Trust me, I would fit. And I would go out with him. So when you know your father, you will find a way to be with him. Even when things look impossible in your house, like you have no way to be with Jesus, you will create time. You will create time to be with him, to know his will. So the first thing is you need to know God's will for your purpose, for you to receive your miracle. Hallelujah. Jesus said he came to give us life and life in abundance. So if he came to give you life in abundance, that is one of your rights. You need to remember that Jesus came to give you life and life in abundance. So start there and dig deeper and find out what God is saying about your situation. Hallelujah. Secondly, I would say this. Trust in God and God alone to provide for your situation. Hallelujah. Sometimes we choose to look other ways. And I'm saying this morning, you need to determine in your heart that whatever miracle you're expecting, you will only choose to receive it from God and God alone. There are other options out there that will fall in your way when you're looking for a miracle. There are other options that will show up that will look very genuine. But in this place, I want to tell you, you need to declare with your lips that only God's provision will you depend on and nothing else. If it's coming from someone else, reject it and only trust it's coming from God. And how do you know it's coming from God? Because you go back to the Word of God. Point number one, which is know the will of God. So when you know the will of God, then you will know to trust him and him alone. I've put there the book of Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 3, 7 and 18, just for you to refer to. Just to know that God does not like, he detests when we look to any other source for our help apart from him. And this is what he says. Verse 7, it says, for the Egyptians who are, say, for example, the other hope that you are leaning on, the other crutch that you are leaning on, they will help in vain and to no purpose. They will be called Rahab Hem Shebeth. That means Rahab, they do nothing. That means the pride that does nothing. That means if you are depending on anything else, including your finances, they will get you nowhere because only God has a way for you. Hallelujah. Only God has your way. So if you have found help somewhere else, this is a time for you to rethink where you are looking and rethink, determine that you're going to come back to Jesus because it will amount to nothing. I have been there, I have messed my life big time, and I know that the only way is to return to Jesus. And that is where your answer lies. That is where your answer lies. Determine that your miracle will only come from Jesus. The Word of God in Proverbs tells us there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it ends up in death. Now, whatever you are believing in, you need to rethink that and determine whether that's coming from God. Because that's the only hope that you have today. Verse 18, if you read, it says, the Lord is waiting that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, and that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait on him. There is always a loving purpose for us to run back to Jesus. Hallelujah. So you need to determine that you're going to depend on God. Point number three. You pray persistently. You pray persistently. The Word of God reminded us on Friday, Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8, it said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be the door will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and he who seeks, who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, the door will be opened. Hallelujah. We do not knock and seek so that God changes his mind, but he transforms our way of thinking where we are at. You start to reflect on what God is saying, what you are praying about, and you realize whether it's in line with God or not. You start to realize whether it's in line with the Word of God or not. That is why we need to pray and seek and ask, because in that place we start to discover what indeed is the will of God. So if you've been praying for something and you indeed have not seen it happen, you need to persist in that place of prayer. Hallelujah. Do not quit. Do not turn away. Do not grow faint, because in this place you will receive answers to your prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are times when I have prayed and I've seen miracles immediately. I've prayed for my tooth to be healed and I've been healed immediately. There are times when I've prayed and the pain has persisted, yet later on Jesus has still healed me because I know my God is able. Hallelujah. So you are in this journey, but you are not alone because our God fulfills his purpose. He fulfills his promises. Hallelujah. Point number four, I want to tell you, you need to be expectant. And this is where I will spend a bit of time. I want you to be in a place of expectancy. What is the point of praying and asking God for something when you are not convinced that you are going to receive it? There is no point praying about it. Remember, the battle is here in your mind, and God does not change. He does not fail. And if he promises that he's going to fulfill his word in your situation, he's going to do it. You need to be convinced that he's going to do it and believe that he's doing it for your own benefit. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from the book of Elijah. We get to know this guy, Elijah, who is also called Elihu, and in our Latin is Elias. We have Elias in the house. So Elijah, he lived in the northern kingdom. He was there in the time when the king Ahab was reigning in the 9th century. And God performed many miracles through Elijah, including raising the dead, bringing a fire down from the sky. And he was taken up to heaven in a chariot, which his apprentice Elisha saw as it happened. Now Elijah, we meet him in this place where he has called on God, and God has come in a fire and consumed his sacrifice. And the king Ahab has seen this miracle, and Elijah is in this place now where he's calling on God because God has said there's going to be no rain for years. And Elijah is in this place now. He wants to call on God to come and bring rain. Now we enter verses. In the third year, we enter verses 41 of 1 Kings 14. He is praying for God to bring rain. Elijah says this to Ahab, verse 18, 1 Kings 18, verse 41. Elijah said this to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." And so Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed down low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Now, point number one, listen to this. Even before he started praying, Elijah was expectant. He was listening to God. His heart was connected to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was bringing into the natural what God has already done in the supernatural. The people on earth have not seen the rain yet. Yet Elijah says in his words, "Go get something to eat, King, because I hear rainstorm coming." So before the rain comes, his expectation is high. He prepares the king for the rain before it even starts. Then verse 43, he says this. He said to his servants, he started praying now. And then he says to his servants, "Go look out towards the sea." And the servant went and looked. And then he returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." And seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Look towards the sea. And when Elijah started praying again, God showed up. When Elijah was praying, the rain doesn't come straight away. There is a wait. And this is another example of a man of God praying persistently. Six times the servant went to look, and on the seventh time before the rain came, the servant of God kept praying. He kept praying until the rain arrived. Hallelujah. He did not give up. He persisted in prayer there until he saw answers. He asked the servant to go. He stayed there in a place of prayer because he was focusing on being in the presence of God. And we need to be in that place of the presence of God, never departing and going, getting distracted. When we are praying to God for our miracle, we need to persist and stay in that place until we see that miracle. Hallelujah. Finally, the seventh time, the servant came and told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. And what did Elijah say? Hurry to Ahab. Go and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. Why was he saying that? Because he knew that God is coming in power. He knew that God was coming in power and the rain was coming. Plenty of rain was coming. When he saw that cloud, Elijah was thankful and he started glorifying God in this place. At that point, when we do not know what's going to happen, we've been praying. At what point do you determine that God is coming through for you? At what point do you determine that now is the time for me to start glorifying God and not just continue praying? We want to be in a place where we believe that God is coming in power and meeting our needs, fulfilling and performing his miracle in our life. Hallelujah. We need to be in a place where we are ready. We know the signs because we are listening to God's revelation. Because we are listening to our God. Because we are not trusting in, not in our own power, but we are looking to his word and receiving revelation. Would you go to work if you're not going to receive a pay? Would you? We go to work because we are going to receive a pay. And so if you're in the place of prayer asking God for a miracle, then you go there because you're going to receive a miracle. And therefore, our hearts need to be at a place of expectation. Point number five, we come back to the story of Jairus. Verse 51, this is the word of God. It says, when he came to the house, Jesus allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. This is a point when you need to master all the courage that you have and all your faith. Because a lot of the times, if you read verse 52, it says, they were all weeping loudly and mourning for the girl. But Jesus said to them, do not weep, for she is not dead, but is asleep. And they began laughing scornfully at him and ridiculing him, knowing that without a doubt she was dead. You know, at the time it was customary for people to come and be hired as mourners, to come and join in making the situation look so bad. To come and make it look like the situation is really, really sad and really, really painful. And I know the country where I come from, there are communities where people do exactly the same thing. They hire people to come and make the situation look really sad. And sometimes when we are expecting a miracle and our situation is not turning around, we call on people to come into our situation. We beg them and tell them how our situation is so painful. How sad is our situation is, right? We start saying, oh, look how painful it is. Look how I'm suffering. You are sick and you start saying, this sickness is mine. Like my headache takes a long time to heal. It is not your headache. It is not your headache. It does not belong to you. How can you claim a sickness? It does not belong to you because Jesus has come to give you life. Hallelujah. In this place, Jesus looked at these people and he knew that they were up to no good. He said they were not going to be a part of this miracle. And you need to be in this place where you gather your courage and tell those people who've been mourning with you, out and be gone. I do not want you in my life. I want to be with Jesus. You need to gather all the courage you have and call on Jesus into your situation and believe that only he has the answers to your situation. We cannot be in a place where we are mourning about our situation forever. If the word of God says he is going to transform our situation, that is his word and he's going to fulfill it. And I want you to believe in this Jesus. This is the Jesus I want you to know today, the miracle worker. Hallelujah. Jesus knew very well. He knew very well how he is ridiculed. He was ridiculed even on the cross. He was made fun of. And I know as people of faith, I have been told many times, you look like a person who understands very well technology and everything, yet you believe in this Jesus. What kind of faith is this? What are you believing in? Surely. You know, as believers, you will be made fun of. But do you know that you believe in a higher God? You believe in a more powerful God, a God who knows you inside out. And today I want you to believe this God and not in the technology, not just in science, because I know science is real. And we look to science for answers many times. Indeed, this week I was speaking to a lady who said that, you know, they couldn't have a child. And for years they've known that even in, as soon as they started in their 20s, they knew that they will never have a child. And the only thing that they've changed in their lifestyle within the last year is they've started fasting. But they were not fasting believing in God. They just started fasting, i.e. stopping to eat and detox or whatever it is. And they went back to the doctor, and what the doctor says, you have no problem at all. You are well. You can have children. Yes, there is science. Indeed, our Father in heaven knew very well about how our bodies should work. And these things like fasting, like when we were talking about prayer, you need sometimes to include fasting in there because there is a purpose. There is power in the fasting because God has already worked it out. Science is great, but God knows more than that because he's the one who forms the scientists. He's the one who has formed my body and your body. And today, if he promises a miracle for you, he knows what he's talking about. Hallelujah. He knows what he's talking about. He knows the right time and the right time for you to receive your healing. The centurion received, his servant received healing at the right time. The woman with the issue of blood received her healing at the right time. And Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead at the right time. And the right time with Jesus is always now when you believe in him. Amen. Whether you are being ridiculed or not, this morning I just wanted to invite you to think about your situation. Barnabas, if you join me, please. We're looking at this situation, and I want us to hang in this place where Jesus has pushed away everything else. And they're only the people who are around him are people who will lift his faith, who will lift Jairus' faith and encourage him. And people that Jesus wanted to be in this situation. Now you need to think about the people in your life that are not right for you. The only person that you need to invite into your situation is Jesus. That is your only hope today. And if you are looking to anything, the crutch that you're holding on to, you need to throw it away and turn to Jesus. Because that is your only hope today. Jesus is a miracle worker. I've talked about many situations here, including Elijah's miracles. And including the woman with the issue of blood. More importantly, we've come through the journey of Jairus. And I know that there are some of you in this place who have come through this journey. And you've probably given up that your miracle is not coming. And I want you to stand up with faith today and say, I believe that Jesus is able to do this thing that I've given up on. I believe in this Jesus because he's a miraculous God. He's going to do it for me. If you have heard his word today and you have believed that he's going to turn around your situation, I want to welcome you to stand up on your feet this morning. Hallelujah. 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 It's a moment to be in a place of stillness, trusting this God, believing that he has the answers. Sometimes we are too busy trying to sort our problems out. Sometimes we are too busy thinking our situation all the way, yet Jesus has the answer. That's all we need to look to. It's only Him that we need to run to. Are you in a place where you have depended on anything else? Today, open your mouth and just tell Jesus, I turn to you now.